Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who brings us comfort. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here again, a portion of our epistle lesson from earlier this morning, where St. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In our first sermon this morning, as we were outside in the cemetery, we spoke about that Christ being the first fruits of many who would rise from the dead. As we now and today live in the time of the resurrection, Jesus is just the first of many who will follow. The reign of death is ended. Christ lives. And Jesus certainly is the first, but all who have died will follow after Jesus out of the grave. Yet not all will follow after him into the glorification of eternal life. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we take hold of what Jesus has won for us in his death and resurrection. While Jesus died and rose for all people and has great love for all people, not everyone will be risen to eternal life in heaven with the Lord. Only those who have true faith in this promise and this work will rise from the dead to be gathered to Christ in his kingdom eternally. All those who reject Christ and his atoning sacrifice will be risen to what the Bible calls a second death. It says in the book of Revelation, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, for the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is terrifying to think about, but this is not the case for those who have faith in Christ. No, the scriptures say that those who have faith in Jesus have an eternal heritage and sonship with God. Their names are written in the book of life, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, not as guests, but as members of God's holy family. And that faith does not just have a future hope, that faith is a living hope and an active hope today as we interact and live and experience everything in this world. And that faith that builds hope, that faith that we live under, that Christ has risen for our justification, that faith bears fruit. Because the resurrection of Jesus does not just impact our future as we look forward to rising from the dead, but it impacts our lives today. See, there are two big fruits of the resurrection of Christ. The first one is the one that we discussed in our first service this morning, that we have eternal victory over the power of sin and death. There is now no condemnation against us because Christ has reconciled us to God. As the wages of sin have been fully paid on our behalf, Jesus has died and Jesus has risen so that we might be reconciled and in a right relationship to God. We will rise to everlasting life, comfort, and joy. And this is the future promise that we have in the resurrection. We look forward to this life of the world to come. But the second fruit of the resurrection is the fruit that is born in us today. See, the second fruit is the life of repentance and trust in Christ Jesus that is worked out among those who believe. It is the life that is centered upon the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And we in church and theological circles like to describe that as baptismal regeneration. To be regenerate means to be remade and recreated. And that means that we are made into something new through the resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul, he talks about this. He says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? But do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so to be regenerated is for God to work daily repentance and faith in us. The Small Catechism talks about this as it talks about what baptism indicates in our life. It says that baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And so we see here that the resurrection does not just have a distant and future effect on us, it affects us now and today, right here. It creates a renewal of our minds. It produces a faith that dwells in true repentance. St. Paul is saying here that when you are baptized into Christ, God kills the old Adam in you. He puts to death sinful desires. He drives us to pursue the holiness of life and continued repentance and faith. He means that believing Christians no longer are held captive and enslaved by their sin. The scriptures say it like this way. It says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. And so then, let us cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, we leave our sinful flesh behind and we place our hope in Christ Jesus alone. We hate the sin that dwells in us and we delight in the righteousness of Christ that has been provided for us and given to us and implanted in our hearts and in our lives each and every day. St. Paul speaks on this by using a cooking analogy. He talks about bread and leavening. He says that Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And if we remember, the Passover lamb was to be eaten with unleavened bread, strictly unleavened bread. If there was any leaven in the house, if there was any bread that was rising, what were the Israelites to do on that day of the first Passover? They were to throw it out and start a new batch of dough. Only unleavened bread would be presentable with the Passover lamb. And so Paul is saying that the leavened dough needs to be cast out, it needs to be thrown away, so that what is presentable for the true Passover lamb might be received in joy. Well, what is the thing that leavens us? You leaven bread with yeast, it rises, it grows, and you can't kill the leaven after it's growing. No, what's leavening us? Well, it's hypocrisy. It's false doctrine. It's the lust of sin. It's impurity of life. See, these things are not in compatibility with the lamb that is presented to us. It's not fitting for the Passover lamb to be served with leavened dough, and so the old must be thrown out, and the fresh leavened dough must be made. St. Paul looks at the Corinthians, and he writes to the Corinthians and says, you are not leavened dough. You are unleavened bread. It's who you are. It's who you have been made in the waters of your baptism. It's what God has created in you through the baptismal regeneration and the faith that you have in the resurrection of Jesus. So cast out the old leaven. That old leaven is not who you are. This is not who God has created you to be. And that means that our life of faith in Christ is reflected by what we say, what we think, what we do, how we love, how we pursue duty. Those who have faith in Jesus will center their lives around Jesus. Their hope, their joy, their desires, and everything that drives them is no longer centered around the things of this world and the deeds of our flesh. Rather, it is on Jesus Christ alone. And that was a problem that Paul was dealing with when he was writing our lesson to the Corinthians. They were not standing firm in Christ. They had received the gospel. They had believed that the death and resurrection of Jesus were for them, and it was for the forgiveness of their sins. They had justifying and saving faith in that Corinthian congregation, yet they were weak. And they still had the defilement of their own flesh. Their old Adam, that old wicked sinful nature, those old sinful passions, their sinful desires that they were born with were still at work in the people of the congregation in Corinth. As things were running rampant in the midst of them, adultery, hypocrisy, pride, jealousy, favoritism, love of money, partiality to wealthy or influential people, and the lack of love were major issues for the Corinthians. And so Paul reminds them of what the resurrection of Jesus actually means for them. He says that they have been reborn. They have been remade. They have been given newness of life. In their baptism, the death and resurrection of Jesus was applied to them. They died and reborn. New hearts were created within them. And he warns them not to fall back into their own life. He warns them not to delight in those things that would distract from their faith in Christ. He tells them not to return to the way of life that leads to death, but the life that leads to faith and everlasting life. And that means that they were to dwell in the Word of God. They were to grow in their faith. They were to continue casting out the old leaven from the congregation and from their own lives. And they were to do this so that they would not be deceived into clinging into any false hope that would lead them to death. This cannot be done by our own strength or our own willpower. We cannot fix ourselves completely from the stain and the curse of sin that destroys us inside out. This can only be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who works sorrow and terror over sin and strengthens us in faith in this gospel that Jesus has risen from the dead. It does not happen when our hardened hearts or our willful ignorance of God's word and his promises persist in our lives. That is like somebody aspiring to be an Olympic swimmer whose only training is leaping through the garden sprinkler in their backyard. When he finally gets in the pool, what's going to happen? He's going to drown. He will sink. He will fail. He will lose the race. If he doesn't die, he'll decide, maybe that swimming thing is not for me, and he'll avoid it at all costs. Think of this in terms of your Christian life today. If you do not attend Sunday services, engage in study of the Bible, participate in Christian fellowship regularly, cry out to God in prayer, and regularly live in repentance, then it's probably pretty predictable that when certain types of testing come, or temptations come, or troubles come into your life, that your faith will suffer for it. And it may not endure. See, it all boils down, though, to what you love. You will devote yourself to those things that you love. You will find comfort in those things that you love. And if what you love and devote your time and energy into is your flesh, your passion, your personal pleasure, well, that's where you will flee to in times of trouble. But if what you love is what has been done for you in Christ, then you will dwell in and with our Savior Christ. You will cast off the deeds of the flesh and you will rest in Jesus. When temptation or trials or struggles or difficulties or sickness or death come into your life, that's where you will flee. You will flee to Jesus. And that is good. To live in the fruit of the resurrection is to live by faith in Christ. And that faith means that we live in the comfort and the joy and the assurance that Jesus has risen from the dead. He has conquered death on our behalf. He has forgiven all of our sins. But that also means that we repent of everything that is a product of those loves of our flesh. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything from lust, adultery, greed, gossip, selfishness, pride, gluttony, apathy, laziness, rudeness, hatred. All of these things pop up in our lives. They spring forth almost uncontrollably at times. Our old Adam desires these things and loves these things, but we are called to flee from them. We're called to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And that means that when these things produce themselves in our lives, we flee from them into the grace of Jesus Christ alone. We reject what is destroying us and embrace what saves us. With sin, there is only death, but with Christ, there is only life. Jesus has risen from the dead. And we come to where that forgiveness of sins is provided for us. That is where the old Adam is put to death so that we walk in the holiness of life before God. That is our desire. It's a desire that has been created in you as the Lord has created a new heart in you. And that new creation springs forth in you from the empty tomb that Christ has left behind. The Bible teaches, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That transformation, that renewal, that regeneration, is worked by the power of the resurrection of Jesus. The only reason that we could ever possibly desire to live before God in righteousness of faith is that this righteousness is provided for us and worked for us and given to us in Jesus. It's all because Jesus has risen from the dead. If Christ has not been risen from the dead, we would still be in our sins and our faith would be futile and worthless. There's no reason to go to church. There is no reason to heed the word of God that is preached in the scriptures. There is no reason to amend our sinful lives. There would be no purpose to any of it other than the vain purposes that we would contrive within our own sinful hearts. But Christ has risen from the dead. He has risen to create in us a newness of life. And that resurrection is at work in you right now, O baptized child of God. This resurrection is the assurance that our sins are forgiven, each and every one of us. It's what causes us to be reborn and recreated into something other than a damnable sinner that is destined for destruction. It is the resurrection that creates in us a new heart and a new mind. The resurrection of Jesus causes you to live under the grace of Christ. And under that grace, there is hope. And under that hope, there is no disappointment because the promises of Christ are sure and true. And so we guard that faith, that hope, and that grace. St. Paul says, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Your sins do not condemn you who have faith in Christ. Your sins do not own you who have faith in Christ. Christ does. Christ takes ownership of you. You have become Christ's eternal and heavenly possession. The deeds of our sinful flesh, those sins that kill us, these do not hold you. Neither does the death that sin brings. Jesus did not rise so that we may dwell in death, but that we might rejoice in eternal life. And so we live in that life. We consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is who you are. Christians are dead to sin. Christians are living children of God. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is working in those who rest in his promises. And as you dwell in him, your life is filled with the joy and comfort beyond all measure that Jesus lives for you. And as Jesus lives for you, he intercedes for you before our Father in heaven. He prepares a place for you, a very room in the house of our Heavenly Father that will be yours. Our Christ and our Lord has a place prepared for you in the kingdom where you may sit at the table, not as a slave to sin, but as a child of God. And that is because you have a life that extends beyond the false joys and the false pleasures of our old self. We take no comfort in our sin, but we take comfort in the promise of eternal life and the everlasting heritage with God that we have in heaven, where there is no sin, but only the praise of him who died and rose for our forgiveness and our life and our salvation. In Christ is life. Your life in Christ has already begun. It is today. It is now. Live in the joy of that life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. We rise.